DoNotGod.com.
When you say you love me, then prove it by going out on the sly, proving your love isn't true. Call me Mr.
Alright, that was the number one song in America on the day I was born. Surprising. So I did look it up. It's 23,653 days. Yeah. And it seems like an awful lot of time. And this is the best I'm doing, you know, which just doesn't, you know, it's, you know, it's humiliating that I didn't get more out of my 23,653 days. You know, I can imagine maybe 100 of them might have been a little bit productive. But yeah, all the rest are just wasted days. It seems like all of this should have been a pamphlet, you know, and you just get up to speed pretty quick. You figure out, okay, how this whole thing works, being alive and, you know, sentient and existing on a planet covered with a bunch of other living things that, are struggling to find any comfort and joy. And, I feel like, you know, if I could start over at 11 years old or something with what I know now, you know, I would make such better use of my time. I guess I'd be stuck in the same position I am now, where I have this sense that I have acquired enough information to draw conclusions, comfortable conclusions, and now it's just a matter of doing this argument thing to persuade others that they're living really fake and stupid and useless and, you know, silly lives. Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to say it, really. It is just so trivial and lost in crap and mush and bullshit that doesn't make any difference, and all the important stuff, you know, is this capacity to, you know, see through all the distractions of your psychology and, you know, the personal interest part, and be able to make some kind of reasoned statement about the overall game of existence. And game it is, you know. You know, from a playing perspective, you can't avoid that kind of an analogy, you know, just because it is so immediately competitive, and you know, you have to play, you know, or you'll pay. You know, even breathing and eating, and, you know, you have to play by the rules to some extent. You can't separate yourself from the fact that you have the bat in your hand, and the only thing you can do with it is, you know, hit the ball and get your reward. So that's a fairly dismal part of this. You know, because it's so serious. I mean, it's the brutal death that's being experienced, you know, over and over and over and over again. So, earlier I was contemplating, wow, what am I going to do with this video? You know, and it's kind of like the decision was made for me because a cat strolled by, stalking and such. And I just thought about all the mice, you know, every day, you know, what the insane number is, you know. So I've had my 23,000 days, and it's going to be more than 23,000. I mean, it's probably 23,000 in, you know, 10 square miles, rodents met their end today in some brutally horrible, eaten half alive kind of way, and torn to pieces. And, grizzly. And, so I think back to my 23,000 days, you go back and wow, that was so long ago, so far away, all the little adventures as a kid and all that, it's just so distant, so almost, it's almost like it's not your life anymore, you remember it, but you say, well, is that really me? Did I really do that? It's just so fogged and so unreachable, as even being able to understand who you were back then is even hard to put together and such. So, but anyway, that's the story. You're saying, wow, this is hard to explain to people, that life is too expensive, when you can't even just talk about how many little cute Mises got eaten to pieces today. Was today a great day? No. I mean, then you just total up all the other sentient creatures that were thrown into the meat grinder today. I mean, the numbers, billion? I don't know. Gigantic, just obscenely huge number. And so that was a good day, right? We mass murdered not millions, but maybe billions of sentient creatures so we could make YouTube videos, and talk about how smart we are. Oh, we're quantuming now. We have all this quantuming stuff. It's just so super to be in the quantum verse. So, you got the old, crappy, stupid religions, and then you got the new age, wooey, poofter religions. Oh, shit. So, yes, I thought the irony of Mr. Blue is kind of funny. So, nobody really famous was born on my birthday, so, the door's wide open for me, that might be my fate, just because, wow, it sure was a boring day in history in terms of anybody useful being born. So, it seems like a open invitation for me to do something spectacular. Seems like. Anyway, so I don't know if I can drag anything out of the rest of this. It is thought-provoking, to consider your life and to consider when you really think about all the days and then all the hours in those days, and just how poorly I use them. I just have to admit. Insane. When I think about it, the wasted thoughts, the wasted fantasies, the wasted bullshit. Just, amazing. And wasted in the sense that, there really weren't. I really wasn't actively pursuing understanding, in a deeper way, in a more competent way. If I can say it that way. But again, that's the whole argument, though. It's all so simple that in a way you give up because, what's so complicated about this? You draw the conclusion when you're 7 years old that this isn't going to be any fun. So I should say when you're 4 years old, because I did recall, that another significant event in my life was the Kennedy assassination happened on my birthday. When I was 4, and that does give you pause in the sense that I was already feeling paranoid, like powerless paranoid. I guess paranoid isn't the right word. I was just feeling incredibly powerless. Like, you can't control anything. All of these things happen, and you don't get to decide what's going to happen. It just falls on you, the swords. And so this event, even though I didn't know exactly what a president was, it was obviously this is a very important person, and he was, not in some usual way dying of old age, that it was brutally squished right in front of everybody. It left an impression. And because it was my birthday, and he ruined it by getting shot. And so that was the immediate thought, but I was capable of understanding, oh, this is more serious than my birthday, because somebody's dead, somebody important is dead. And then every year there'd be the reminders, because every year they would redraw the scenario, re-talk about it, and then eventually this Bruder film got be public, and then you'd see, I don't remember the first time I saw it, but obviously first time I saw it was probably on my birthday, and it's so brutal and ghastly, an event, especially, when you, for Mrs. Kennedy, Onassis or whatever. Shocking, that this is what your life is, this is the game you're in, where it can all be taken just that quickly. It's gone. It's all the work is now been blown down by the little tornado. So I guess that's another piece of my story, is that, I lived in Louisiana, and there was hurricanes and tornadoes now and then, and we would drive around after a hurricane and see houses with trees down the middle, all kinds of, lucky us kind of stuff, right? Because it's all fun when it's not happening to you. And I shouldn't say that, but it's somehow entertaining, to see the destruction when it didn't happen to you. But it is sobering when the threat is now pointed, when the gun is pointed at you a new time. It's like playing Russian roulette. Oh, that hurricane missed us, but here comes a new one. And I remember sitting in a tree when a hurricane was coming. And it wasn't a very high tree, 10 feet or something. And seeing these just insanely black clouds and the winds picking up and the whole thing is in turmoil. And, you're just sitting there saying, tomorrow, my sisters could be dead. you're just sitting here saying, what's this? I don't want to play this Russian roulette bullshit. Fuck this. And knowing that I can't take the exit, there's no way to get out of it. So you're just stuck having to endure this uncertainty, concern and worry about, whether you're going to get pinned under a giant tree and be slowly squished to death. Thanks, Mom. Really, what the fuck are people thinking? Let's make more people so they can be squished under trees. And not to mention all the other horrible ways to get killed. Inevitably killed. Shit. Right there, you're done. It's too stupid. Just too stupid to sentence a human being to this sick waiting game, for you're going to get yours, you're going to get your share of the fun. Everybody gets thrown off the roller coaster. That's the fun of it. You never know when. Fuck you, that's the fun of it. So anyway, just That's what went through my mind. Okay, so I don't know if I can make a video out of that. So we'll try, see what else happens. So I'll take a pause and see if I can collect anything out of this. All right, back. So not much happened. You know, I said, brain, do something. And, you know, and again, I'm saying 23,000 days I've had to program this thing, you know, to get it working better. And really, it's just disgraceful that I have, you know, I don't have bang, 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 perfect sentences all ready to go, all that crap, you know. But I don't. So I just live with that fact that I've had all this time to be able to put all these ideas together into a nice package that I can just simply describe and be done with it. So I haven't quite gotten there yet. and I guess some of it's because I have resisted doing what I really need to do, which is methodically put it all down and order it and go from subject to subject carefully and in the right order and all that crap. And, you know, that's the problem is for, you know, is this human being has to do the work, and there's this feeling part that doesn't feel like it. So that's a real problem. And that's the real conflict. So the modern mystic is sort of on that same subject. This dichotomy between this more primitive feeling organism and the more sophisticated meme-informed, educated even, intellect, you know, the knowledge base that knows better, knows best, and always has to sit there and seduce somehow the feeling thing into doing something. So I have to apply guilt, or I have to apply some kind of stupid psychological crap to myself to force myself to work at it. yeah, do work that I don't want to do. Yeah, and that's the part that's sort of, it's hard to get past it. It's just one of the rules of playing the game, is that you're going to have to make your ideals very, very powerful to be able to force yourself to invest your comfort in doing the right thing instead of the fun thing. And there's no answer to that except the answer that your intelligence has to really turn the guilt screws, or the you're embarrassing your mother screws, or some other kind of screw to force, you know, put the pressure on you to choose wisely instead of conveniently. And again, I don't have an answer to it, because I obviously have failed to, you know, appropriately oblige myself to work as hard as I could, I suppose. See, I mean, I feel pretty taxed and pretty stressed, and you know, I feel like I have worked at it. So it's hard for me to accept that, yeah, well, I haven't been a total lazy shit, but yeah. It's the fact is, though, 23,000 days. You should be able to get something done in 23,000 days. More than I have. So, not a good robot. Not good enough. Not, you know, see, good enough, it is really about winning. It's about success or failure, and that's all there is. There's, you know, the whole Yodi-ism. There is no try. There is either do or do not do, you know. There is no try comes after that. But anyway, I have to keep that in mind, that, you know, no point in doing if you're going to do badly. So play to win. And but yes, you won't win. So that's the penalty of it. You're playing to win, but you're winning something more than you. Now, for me, I do convert it into a win for me, because I imagine my, you know, the future humans, and I imagine there'll be the same percentage of the future humans who will be people like me. And they'll be saying, why didn't you fucking get this done? You know, you fucking asshole. You know, come on, make better videos, do better. You know, so, you know, there's another bit of guilt, because I'm basically allowing my future self to be burned at the stake over and over again, because I can't find a way to stop it, you know, within the tools and means that I have. And, you know, theoretically, with 23,000 days, I should have, I should have gotten it done. Anyway, all right, so, you know, we're still dragging out that theme, but anyway, let's see where it goes and such. All right, staying with the day theme, I'm just thinking, how long should it take to actually persuade somebody of, you know, explain, you know, it's evolution, okay, the chemistry, the physics, it's all mechanical, you know, there's no thinking objects involved anywhere, there's no thought or purpose or any of that kind of stuff in the construction, and that's why it's obviously insanely flawed as a process, right? I mean, mass murder as a way of improving the species. No, that's really, you know, and it's realistically, it's mass murder of little kids, you know, just the immature ones, which, you know, frankly, is probably kinder in a way, you know, just because kids, you know, in some ways I'd be stronger, you know, facing death as a 10-year-old than I am as a 64-year-old. I'm less patient now, and you know that it's not for any purpose, and you know that there's not any, you know, so you're not, you know, you don't have the same kind of tolerance for nonsense and waste that you might put up with, you know, when you're 10. You react differently, I guess, is all I can say about it, and the reaction isn't necessarily better. I mean, it's less hysterical, you know. It's less whining and crying, but in some ways it's more agonizing, because you know how pointless it is and futile and stupid and wastful. And that's the part that's just makes it so much harder to endure it, because it's such a waste, such an unnecessary, stupid squander, waste of suffering. But the fact is, you know, I think all of us, find it harder to accept it when, you know, kittens are being thrown in the meat grinder, or little kids will be thrown in the ovens or something. It would just make it that much worse. And that's evolution. That's the process that's building your functionality. Now, it's not really doing it anymore, because we've sort of stepped out of the natural game, and we're evolving by human selection, which is worse than natural selection. But anyway, it's still a selection process. It's just that it's not going to make us stronger and better. It's going to make us sillier and loopier and dupier. And that's what it appears to be doing. The worst of us, you know, is plowing its way through to the future, while the best of us is looking for the exit. And that's not a good trend. All right, so in that context, I was just thinking about the fact that, yes, okay, we're still just fighting, you know, people that just have such an immaturity. I mean, they're still falling for Santa Claus stories, whether it be the traditional religious drony of, you know, banjo music, or the modern, you know, quantum spirituality horseshit. It's just grasping at some kind of purpose straw, and some sort of redeeming function that somehow would justify their silly, stupid, meaningless lives. You know, and you know, that's just cheating. You know, you don't make the reality to fit what you want it to be. You have to, you know, deal with it as it is, because the future is depending on you. It's that simple. I mean, you know, we're all going to decide. Every one of us has a vote, so to speak. And we're going to decide how much shit has to be pointlessly tortured in the future. And you ought to take that seriously. And in taking it seriously, I don't see how there's really any option but to recognize it's not worth it. That your, you know, mass murder isn't a viable game to play. And you have to find, you know, something else to do with your life than creating future victims. And get through your life and be done with it. You know, don't perpetuate the bad play. Don't keep putting somebody in the roller coaster seat. Okay, let's just grandfather us out. Let us all get thrown to the wind, okay, and smashed through the windshields. And then let's not throw anyone into windshields anymore. Let's be done with it. No, and especially for the animals, because they're doing the feeling thing, and all they don't have is a philosophical perspective. They don't have, they have a thought process. You know, they're certainly going to learn from their experiences. The cat puts its little paw in a mousetrap or something, it's going to learn, don't put your paw in fucking mousetraps. So it's going to have an inhibition. It's going to have life experience, and so, and then it's going to be able to see something that looks something like a mousetrap, and it's going to say, hell with that. So anything that looks like it, it's going to be driven by. So just like that butterfly, they can all hide by looking like something else that's poisonous, or looking like something looking like a mousetrap. You know, it's a very good way to survive, is to look like something that can, you know, do some real damage. You know, that's part of the strategy that things acquire, is just to be to take advantage of the fact that animals learn, and you know, make their intelligence fool them in a way, because they don't have enough of it. See, we're not going to be fooled, because we can differentiate between the real thing and a fake thing, where, you know, a cat'll, you know, swat at the fish on the computer screen, you know, yeah. So yeah, they're just stupid, but they're just as alive, feeling, sensing beings as we are. Because feelings came first. There's no, you know, there's no real point in having the intelligence except to moderate the feelings, to create that second or third or fourth level of reaction. All right, so it was all reflexes at first. You hit the knee thing and the knee jerks. And what you're really doing through having intelligence is creating a couple of layers. And so, instead of the knee jerking, okay, it monitors it and says, well, do I really need to jerk? Is it really, is it really immediate? And then on top of that further, you know, it adds a context of maybe I'm in an environment where there's no need to ever jerk because there's no possibility that anything real hit my knee except some doctor's hammer, so I'll just ignore it entirely. And that's sort of how the brain functions, is it has these layers of reaction. And some are quick because they need to be quick, you know. I had a pit bull attack me once. And, you know, my body took over, you know. So, you know, the dog was going right for my face, and my body knew to turn my head. And when I turned my head, my shoulder went up, and so he got, you know, he just bit my shoulder instead of my face. And, you know, my brain knew, you know, which way to go. The dog was over here, so I have to go that way because the dog's on a chain. And if I can gut that way quick enough, I'll escape. And it did it all without me having to do much, except, you know, marvel at my rescue, you know, that somehow I rescued myself from complete destruction. And you know, none of my thinking brain had much to do with it, but it still played a role. That you can still see in there that it had to do some strategizing. But it did it the real quick way. It didn't do it this slow, conscious, let's write sentences about it way. But even that, again, I've sort of pointed, you know, you can just marvel that your brain constructs all of this stuff, okay? It sort of knows what I want to say, and it constructs it into this semi-coherent package of sentences. And I just sit here and watch and go, wow, that was pretty good. Yeah, that's what I was thinking about, you know, yeah. And, yeah, but it's just layers of processing, you know, and the slowest layer is going to be the best layer in the sense that at least it would give everything a fair shot. It would be looking for any reason to, you know, tilt the scales. And in a sense, that's why you become Mr. Blue, you know, is because you realize that, you know, risk is everywhere, that if you really analyze what you want, you probably don't really need it, that it's all just, you know, fluffy icing. There's no real food in you achieving whatever it is you think you need to achieve or obtain or get. And that when you get it, it's probably not going to do you, it's not going to advance your general welfare all that much. And it might even make it worse because now you have something precious to maintain. And it'll just give you something else to worry about. You know, somebody might scratch your car or something. You know, so you have to be out there protecting it. Anyway, all right, so take a pause and see where we can advance to. Pause. All right, back. So, again, I was thinking memories and all, you know, going down memory lane and whatnot. Not very productive thing to do, I guess. But just this, the part that goes with the psychology part and the part that just stands in our way is the fact that our psychology is constantly being reprogrammed. And that gives us some hope in the sense that we can make some of our intelligent ideas, ideas we actually feel about. But that's also very negative, right? So, because your intelligence is, I think, necessarily going to see a darker side than the lighter side. And so I was sort of related that to, you know, I've sort of explained before that I ended up with vertigo, and it's hard to trace it to anything, but the only thing I can think of is roofing. So I did some roofing, and there was one time I remember where I almost, you know, did the falling backward thing off of a roof and caught myself, you know, and so I didn't fall. But it seems that maybe my brain took that very you know, the fact that I psychologically knew how close I came to FUBAR and how stupid it was and how insanely stupid it was and fuck, what are you doing on a roof if you can't be more responsible than that and all that kind of crap. And so my brain was busy doing this, you know, psychologically bludgeoning me in a sense for this thing. And so the fact that my brain made this bigness out of it, you know, my all of that philosophical thought stuff, you know, a kind of guilt thing. It was doing the guilt thing, except in the form of you're a stupid fuck. And my physiology took that seriously and reprogrammed me. So, you know, before the vertigo, I was, you know, kind of free as a bird when it came to heights. They didn't bother me at all. As a kid, I would, you know, go way up in the top of a tree and it's, you know, moving all over the place in the wind. And, you know, I was, when I was, you know, up to being like 25 years old, I would have dreams of flying. So, a lot of them, you know, I was flying a lot. But that's another catch to it, because in those dreams, landing was always a bitch. So I would either I'd be floating and I'd be fine, and then it's like you're running out of helium and you just start crashing. Or I'd be flying, you know, and all of a sudden there's just not working anymore and I'm going to do this, you know, sandpaper thing into the ground. So maybe those dreams did some damage. It's hard to say. Just that it showed up so much later, it's hard to imagine the flying dreams were the cause of it. But that's the whole problem with psychology, is you don't know what's going to add up to what in terms of an experience to cause this kind of reaction. And the reaction is so vivid and weird, you know, the fact that even a picture of heights now bothers me. you know, just the picture, you know, and you're just, what the fuck? It's, you know, it's a real physiological reaction. I mean, it's a real queasiness and, you know, a real sickness even. You know, and it's like, where does, you know, how's your brain, why is your brain doing this? But it's clearly a strong deterrent. You know, it does keep you off the roof. So I have gotten a little better. You know, I've been practicing because I really need to do stuff on roofs now and then. But I'm still, you know, fairly feeble and like a, you know, I do girly roofing at best, but it's something anyway. But it's just funny how difficult it is to regain what your brain takes away and what becomes a psychological issue. And it's just amazing how much power that psychology has when it's really rigid. Because it doesn't matter how much reasoning you apply to your brain and say, look, get over it. Not a big deal. Come on. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. You can control the circumstance. It's you know, no problem. And your physiology is just saying, fuck you, okay? It's a disaster. I'm not doing it. You know. So anyway, just throwing that little bit in for what, you know, what it's worth, blah 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 blah. All right, back. So I was thinking about the scientifically illiterate, factually illiterate people. You know, just how, you know, I can't call, you know, obviously I would like people of faith, okay, to recognize that being a person of faith is a really stupid thing to be. You should be persuaded by evidence, okay? You shouldn't be controlled by necessity or what mommy said or, you know, archaic stories, you know, written on, you know, pieces of mud. That shouldn't be how you're living your life. Should have done that earlier, I suppose. Probably should have fixed this camera earlier, too, but I didn't, so hell with it. yeah, well, see, I mean, these are little things, but that's part of, you know, doing your job, and taking it seriously and all that crap, and say, I just can't. I'm trying to manifest that kind of work ethic, but I'm just too tired. I'm tired of everything. But anyway, I'll endeavor to persevere, and that's the best I can do. But persevering means just getting by. So I'll endeavor to just get by. To live another day and try again. That's the best I can do. So anyway, where was I? The religious kooks. So yeah, I can't call you religious kooks. I can't say you're so fucking infantile and you're immature and you're ignorant and all that crap. But it's just the truth. And I just don't know how you think you're taking life, your responsibility here as a thinking device, and that's all you are, is a thinking device. All right, you're not driven by God. There's no little person inside of you, inspired by the Lord or some other kind of crap. No, you're a thinking machine, and it's your obligation to think correctly, to add up the facts and draw the rational conclusion. And come on, 2,000-year-old fables about burning bushes and frickin' arcs and all kinds of other nonsense. Come on. You have no good reason to invest your intellectual capital in such a nonsense concept. The fact is, you're a fish, okay, with a brain. And your obligation is to devote some percentage of your brain's working capacity to giving a damn about the future, not just yourself. And you got to take your existence a little more seriously, than hugging your religion teddy bear. And if you're doing it out of like some psychological bullshit, like you got to switch the light switch on and off 15 times, or you're going to end up with a wart on your nose. Just figure out that that's crap, okay? That superstitious shit is crap, okay? There's no heaven and hell. What do you think? Why would you even want to go to heaven? Just think about it for a minute. Is there anything good going to happen there? Rubies and diamonds? Is that really... You want to just sit on the rocks encrusted with rubies and diamonds and rub them or something? I mean, what the fuck? The streets are paved in gold. Well, who the fuck cares? What do I do with gold? Can I buy hookers with it? I mean, come on. You got no good reason to invest your existence in nonsense. And so just come on, please, please. Think about it. The mass murder of little feeling creatures. Billions every single day for millions of years. And you finally have the capacity to say, no mas. Let's not kill anything else. Let's not brutally, dismember and vivisection another feeling thing. Let's put an end to that. And what do we miss? Nothing, okay? We miss replaying the same episode of Stupid Human over and over and over again. All right, we've told all the stories there are to tell. It's almost like, yes, we've sung all the songs that are worth singing. It's over. It's cooked. Way past time to recognize what we have here, and it's shit sandwich, and there's really nothing you can do with it. And you certainly don't want to be feeding it to the future. So let's just give up and say, well, it's time to stop eating. Oh, shit. Shit. Anyway, so, I don't know. You're saying, I just can't. That the fact that people are so freaking And that, you know, to some extent they should be. I'm attacking the integrity of their existence. You know, I'm saying your life has been a waste and shit because you've invested in garbage. And that you're torturing the future. You know, you're guilty of crimes, you know, against feeling things. That's a lot to dump on somebody. So I understand their resistance, okay, to hearing it. But what I don't understand is why it doesn't roll around in their little brains and they realize that, well, that's really the game we're playing for here. And if I'm going to stake something else's life on it, I ought to be damn sure it's the truth. And are you really damn sure there's some loving God that's going to somehow fix all of the surgeries without anesthesia? It's somehow going to make all of that unhappen? You know, come on. Come on. Yeah. Too ridiculous. All right, well, that's probably a good place to end. It's nice and brutal and harsh and its battery was charged and it did a good job of drilling the hole. And let's see if anything happens. I suppose I can only crack people. I can't break them. I do my part anyway to try to break down this crap that people live for and to just recognize it's just a brutal circumstance we're in. It is just a meat grinder, and there's no point in you being a, what would you call it? You're just helping the machine. You know, you're just a sellout to the grinder. You're just one of its little Borgites who helps guide the babies into the acid. You're not doing a good job. You're doing a stupid job. And you're doing it. You're just creating a bunch of cruel outcomes, whether that's your intention or not. It's just a fact that that's what you're causing. Well, that's pretty pointed also. All right, there's little Loro's ears up there. Anyway, so he was saying he wanted to be in a video. Snuck his way in. Anyway, all right, so till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. And I'll try again next time when I have 7 more days, maybe, right? I can't even be sure. I mean, that's the part that just sucks. Yuck. Damn it. Yeah. Anyway, so we'll just assume everything will go as it has been and just hope for the best and all that crap, which doesn't, just totally useless. I'm going to hope something. Fuck. Yeah. Good luck with that, right? So it's all luck and hope. Shit. Yeah, I mean, who invests somebody else's welfare on luck and hope? I mean, that's just cruel. All right. So enough. Till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Oh, might as well end with a little bit more of a musical interlude.
When you say you're sorry, then turn around, heading for the lights of town, hurting me through and through. Call me Mr. Blue. I stay at home at night. I got a phone at night.
Right by the
but
phone.
You town,
Mr. Blue,
a bright red to turn it upside down. I'm painting it.
Okay, something like a one-hit wonder, I guess. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty girls and such. Anyway, till the next time. And now such and so forth. And whatnot.